Sweet. Isn't that sweet? They are precious, precious people. We need to continue to lift them up in prayer. And I want to say thank you for the years of support that Dothan has made an investment into Tegucigalpa, that region of Honduras. And it's made an impact that is now global. They're about to break ground on a facility that is one of the largest in Latin America, because they have not room enough. As a matter of fact, they take over the soccer stadium I think it was 5 or 6 times a year, just to get people to. They still can't get them all in when they take over the soccer stadium. And one of the things that he said that you probably couldn't hear, because it was all kinds of great activity, all these children were playing around them. But one of the things you may not have heard is they have over 2,000 life groups. And what they do is they will put these life groups on rotation, where they're only allowed to attend church on certain Sundays because they can't get everybody in. How many think that's a great problem to have, huh? Isn't that awesome? And so we're going to pray and believe God continually for the support there in Honduras, to see God's favor rest upon that great nation, especially on that pastor and that church. But thank you again for supporting them. Hey, it's offering time. We get to give unto the Lord. How many are grateful for that? He's been good. He's been faithful. Our ushers are coming to receive of God's tithes and your offerings. And tonight, we just want to celebrate in our giving. It's still a part of our worship. Whenever we give, it's a part of our worship. Jesus Christ, when he came to this earth, the Bible says in John 3:16, you've heard it so many times, God so loved the world that he gave. That he gave. And so he gave out of his generosity, out of his love for us, he gave to us. So we give back to him a portion of what first of all belongs to him, God's tithes, and then of course our offerings that supplement and support the work of the kingdom around the globe. So let's take a moment to pray over our time of giving. Lord, bless each one that's here today. And those that are preparing to give, I pray you would bless them, pressed down, shaken together, running over, great blessings, miracle results as they pour to you. I pray they would receive back poured out blessings. And God, I thank you for this church and the heartbeat of generosity that each one of them has. And I just pray continued blessings on their businesses, on their finances, on their homes, their marriages, Lord, in every way. Lord, even those things that we can't buy with money, our health, our peace, our fulfillment and satisfaction, I pray you'd pour back to them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you give. Ushers, thank you so much for serving us. Go ahead and grab your copy of God's Word. I'm going to jump right in tonight because we're not going to spend a whole lot more time together, but we're going to spend just enough time, I think, in God's Word to really propel you for this week. We've been talking about overcoming and being an overcomer, what that means, preparing to win. And so we've talked about putting on the body armor, that no one would be foolish enough to get ready to play a football game, and all these, you know, these NFL football players, none of them would all get together and only one of them decide they're not going to wear a helmet or shoulder pads or a uniform, right? They would be smart enough to say, you know what, everybody else has the equipment that's proper, that's going to be protective. And so it is with the kingdom of God. Friends, we have got to take these moments to prepare ourselves for the battle. How many understand, yes, the battle is the Lord, but we're still living in this earth. So that means there's still going to be problems to face. There's still going to be crisis that will hit. And we need to be prepared. So grab your copy of God's Word. Say this with me. Say, I am what God's Word says I am. I can do what God's Word says I can do. I can become all that God said I could be. So tonight, I'll hear God's Word. I'll receive God's Word. And I will obey God's Word, because I love His Word. Now, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, can you keep a secret? Because he's about to tell you a secret. I want to tell you a quick secret. It's really not a secret, but I'll make it a secret. As you know, my parents, who I have had just such a wonderful relationship with, consider them my friends, not just my parents. And I also consider them my heroes. But they said, Mark, we really want to pray about what God has for our future and were considering retirement. They're, my dad's 70 now. And he just said, you know, one of the things that we're going to just test the Lord, you know, prove me now in this, see if I won't open up the windows of heaven. He said, you know, we're just going to go ahead and trust God, put our house on the market and just see what happens. Well, 3 days later, the house sold for the asking price. And they said, well, we asked the buyer when they needed us out, and they said less than 30 days. And they said, I wonder if they would make room for us in Dothan, Alabama. And so proud to say that they are on their way. And we could not be more thrilled and excited about them being with us here. And so we will send your greetings to them, just saying that, you know, they were just curious to know. I mean, you've now had us for 6 months, so it's kind of a scary thing to come back to this place and realize how badly they messed me up. That now you got me, you know, you're the recipients of their child rearing. So anyway, tonight let's go through the Word of God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, as you're turning there, I did hear of a guy who he was visually impaired. He could not see, and so he had a seeing eye dog. And he walked with that seeing eye dog wherever he went, and he went into this grocery store, and all of a sudden the unthinkable happened. This guy, with all of his might, he couldn't see, but he had a seeing eye dog, and he took that dog with his leash and went around and around and around and around, and then he got that dog with such centrifugal force that the dog was up in the air, and then all of a sudden he just let it drop to the ground, and arf! And then he got a few more steps, and he did it again, and arf! And over, and these people are wondering, what in the world is this guy doing? Finally, the guy walked up, and he said, sir, can I help you? And he said, no, I'm just looking around. Anyway, all right. Come on now. That was funny to somebody. Anyway, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. Not as funny to my wife. Anyway. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, the body armor, that's the breastplate of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all this, hold up the shield of faith. He didn't say have it. He said hold it up. Hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery darts of the devil. So as we're talking about Ephesians, we know that there was this moment where now the Apostle Paul is there in prison, and he's writing these things, and he's chained to a Roman soldier, and he looks over at the body armor that the Roman soldier's wearing, and he says, I have a great connection to the spiritual. Here's the physical. Now let me bring you to the spiritual. And he just goes through each one of the points that this guard is wearing to reflect the preparation for the armor of God, the preparation for us to win and fight a battle. And so we went through each one of these. I won't go through them lengthy, but I'll take you quickly through them for those that weren't with us. You have them in your notes, but first of all, we went through the belt of truth, which represents our integrity. Our integrity. Truth is whatever God says, so we need to have the belt of truth firmly placed in our grasp, that we always need to be prepared with our integrity. The second is the body armor of righteousness. That represents our purity. This is something that would cover the most vital of organs to keep someone alive in the middle of a battle. The lungs, the liver, the kidney, the heart. Out of the heart, that's the wellspring of your life. And so we have to have the purity of our heart. And the way that you can put on that breastplate, as I shared with you a number of weeks ago, is to hunger for it and offer yourself to God every day. The third is the shoes of peace, which represents our serenity. This is being clear-headed. Peace is freedom from anxiety and stress. And so we have to speak peace. We have to live peace. Peace with God, peace within ourselves, peace with other people. You can't have peace with other people if you don't have peace within yourself, and you can't have peace within yourself until you have peace with God. And then next, what we saw in this line of spiritual understanding is the recognition that doubt fights peace. And so we have to live in peace and speak to to the situations that we're in. We need to speak peace over situations. I truly believe our mouths have the same creative power that God used to create the world. I believe our words have power. Our words define our world. If you've ever seen, the truth of this is if you've ever seen a young child and two parents, especially new parents, and the child falls, and the two parents, the child's fine. The child doesn't cry. The child gets up, and the two parents go, "Oh, no," and they run over. "Oh, are you okay?" And the child gets up. He or she is fine, but all of a sudden they go, "No!" Because the parents freaked out, the kid thinks, "I'm dying. I've got to cry now. Something's wrong." But I've also seen parents that have the different approach where the child falls down and he goes, "It's all right, buddy. Get up. You're fine. Look at you're good." And all of a sudden, the child dusts himself off and runs and goes and plays. It's amazing what speaking peace will do. And I challenge you to speak the word of God. Speak peace. The peace of God which transcends human understanding that guards your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, according to Philippians 4. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. And don't just think them, say them. Use your words to bring life to situations. And then sharing, of course, the gospel of peace with others according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's all there, most of it there in your notes. Use those for study guides. Use those for morning time devotions. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. But tonight, we're talking about getting dressed for battle. You're going to need integrity because how many understand the enemy's going to attack you with lies on all sides? You need to put on purity because he's going to attack you with lust. You need to put on your serenity because he's going to try to attack you with worry. And tonight, we need to hold up the shield of faith. Verse 16 says, at all times, everybody say all times. At all times, carry the shield of faith, for you'll be able to put out the burning arrows shot by the evil one. This is a unique perspective because in these days in which he was writing, there were different shields for different battles. And one of the shields that they would have, of course, you've probably seen the shields of armor where it's got a crest that's placed there kind of representing the symbol and the authority of the kingdom that you're fighting for. Very significant. But what would happen is because they were really heavy-duty metal shields, what would happen is the enemy would take these darts and have some kind of a liquid that would catch it on fire. So when they shot it, what would happen is it would hit and bounce off of that shield, but all the brush around them would catch on fire. So the entire army, as they were marching, would be shot with arrows, and if it didn't hit them and kill them, it would set fires around them. How many understand the enemy loves to start fires in your life? Matter of fact, you oftentimes feel so overwhelmed because you're constantly putting out fires. Putting out fires at home, putting out fires at work, putting out fires in your community. There's always something going on. The enemy's always out to stir something up. And so what they did was they would come up with a better solution. They created these wooden shields. And the wooden shields acted in a different way. They would soak them in water so that when the fiery darts hit, they would stick and they would extinguish. Friends, there's something sweet about knowing the enemy can take his best shot and we're still standing. That God is still on the throne, that he hasn't left us, and that we're not leaving him. But there's some word pictures I want you to get tonight that I feel are significant to us as believers when we hold up the shield of faith. The shield of faith represents our certainty. Certainty. This is trusting the promises of God by faith. Faith is complete confidence in God. I saw a bumper sticker years ago that said, "God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it." Right? But there's a statement that could be taken out of that because God said it, and whether I believe it or not, it's still true, right? You could take out the I believe it part because no matter what, if God said it, it's truth. And so when it comes to our spiritual authority, what we're doing is we're representing not just ourselves, but the kingdom of God. So what are these fiery darts that are being shot at you? Almost always, And listen to what I'm about to say. Almost every fiery dart that's ever been shot at you in your life is almost always mental. Now, what I mean by that is this. It's not that there's not physical storms, there's not physical problems. It's not like you've never had a disease or sickness or an illness or a weakness in some way. It's not about that. What it really comes down to is this. The enemy loves to attack your mind because it's not what happens to you, it's what you do with what happens to you that makes the difference. That's where your faith is tested. And you don't have a faith that's trusted until you have a faith that's tested. So when it comes to this spiritual authority, you're carrying the shield of faith, knowing that God's going to take care of you. What happens is you need to find certainty even when storms come. And it happens, these fiery darts try to hit your mind. Like I'll give you just a couple of examples of some fiery darts. One of the most unique of the fiery darts, and almost always starts at this base level, is doubt. Satan had these things to say when Adam and Eve were being tempted and tested in the garden. He said, "Did God really say?" And isn't that true? When you face a storm, the first thing that you ask is, "Did God really say this? I mean, is the Bible really true? Is it really work for everybody or just for those super spiritual people?" That's why when the Bible talks about what it means to be transformed, he says, be transformed by the renewing of your heart? No. Of your body? No. Of your spirit? No. Of your soul? No. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Every day you got to shift your mindset to get back into alignment with God's word, God's will, God's plan, and what God said. And then you begin to speak that peace in the middle of storms. Jesus stood on the bow of the boat, looked across the water, and the disciples said, "We're going to drown." And he looks across the water and says, "Peace, be still." Do you know that the words in Jesus' mouth have the same authority in our mouths when we use his word, not our word, but his word to declare over our problems and our pain? You can stand out on the bow of the boat knowing that the Holy Spirit is speaking through you and say, "Peace, be still," in Jesus' name. You can use the authority of the Word of God. Your words have power. Now, I caution you, when doubt comes and you have that moment where you say, "Well, maybe this was for somebody else. Maybe God really didn't mean what he said." Just understand these are nothing but fiery darts. And when doubt comes, the next phase is discouragement. It goes from doubt to discouragement, and the discouragement moments are really tough because it's now not only your mind, but it's engaged in your emotions. How many understand God gave you emotions? It's true. He said, "Be angry and sin not." He understands the frailty of humankind. Jesus wept. So there were clear signs that emotions are not bad, but emotions should not rule us. We should rule our emotions. When your emotions are out of control, the Spirit of the living God is grieved. Did you know that? Why would it then say, "Be angry and don't sin"? Why would it add that? Why? Because he knew that in our anger, we probably would sin. Our emotions would get the better of us. We'd get angry at stupid stuff rather than being angry at sin or being angry at the devil, right? Fighting in prayer. Instead, we get agitated in our spirit and discouragement comes. And the emotions get the better of us. This is where you say, "It's never going to get any better," right? Things are never going to change. It's only going to get worse. Why do I even try? And it's fiery darts, and we need to extinguish them. And the way we do it is by holding up the shield of faith, saying, "I will not doubt my God. I believe you." With discouragement, the next phase is almost always delays. We hate delays. We live in an instant gratification society. We love McDonald's drive-thrus and Chick-fil-A drive-thrus. And if we don't get it exactly when we want it, how we want it, as quickly as we want it, we want to talk to the manager and fire that 16-year-old kid that it is his first job and his first day on the job, right? Because we didn't get our way when we wanted it. But we get discouraged when we see delays. But delays are not denials. Friends, just because you got a delay, just because God put it on hold for a moment, just because he pushed the pause button for just a moment, doesn't mean he's not going to keep teaching you through the pause or the process. He will teach you in the middle of delays if you'll be patient. You know, I talk about learning those fruit of the Spirit, those nine beautiful characteristics of the Holy Spirit. And you think about it, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When you think about those, the one that we all don't want to ask God for is patience. Look, friends, do you know how many scriptures I could memorize by sitting at a light, a red light here in Dothan, Alabama? I've never seen a longer light in my life. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, God, you're teaching me something about patience. I can feel it in my spirit because my foot wants to hit the gas pedal, but it's on the brake. And then people wait so long in the red light, they just about fall asleep. And now people are honking the horn trying to get them to move because they didn't realize the light had turned 5 minutes later. Delays. Why is this taking so long? Why does this, can't this just happen now? Maybe it'll never happen. Is God's power really real? If it was real, he needs to hurry up and answer me. They're fiery darts. The next one is difficulty. Why is life so hard? Why does it feel like I'm taking two steps forward and one step back? Or worse yet, one step forward and two steps back. Why is it that I keep working on my marriage and it doesn't seem to be getting any better? Why is it that I keep working so hard to try to find a job or to find this or to do that? And it just seems to be everyday difficulty. Friends, life is difficult. Life is not easy. Just because you said yes to Jesus doesn't mean that all your problems disappear. It just means you have a problem solver on your side who knows how to take care of your every need. So when you face difficulty and that fiery dart comes, you need to speak peace over that difficulty. The last one is depression. Depression. None of these are in your notes, but you can write them down. Depression is probably the final stage of the fiery darts in these five: doubt and discouragement and delays and difficulty. Usually it leads to depression. Why? Because your emotions have become piled on top of each other. That's why we need courageous believers to come around us. Now, I know there's chemical imbalances. There's certainly issues psychologically that go all the way back to childhood. And I know and believe in Christian counseling. And I've watched God transform people, but I've also seen them healed at an altar where God transforms them. The renewing of their mind, he does something sweet and beautiful and miraculous if we'll just give ourselves to him in that way. I talked about these shields for a reason. Because in the conclusion of this message tonight, and Hayden, if you'd come as we close out, the last part of those wooden shields was this. They were all interlocking. They had grooves on the sides, interlocking so that armies could come next to each other, standing shoulder to shoulder, putting those grooves inside the other grooves so that there would be no room for the enemy to get in. You know what we're standing in right now? A room full of interlocking shields. And each one of you carrying that shield of faith, I know there's some of you going through doubt or discouragement or unbelief or feelings of depression. Friends, if you're walking through any of that tonight, you got some interlocking shields around you. If you don't feel like you can hold up the shield as good as you used to, that's why we are in the house of God tonight. Because we're going to pray over each other tonight. We're going to believe God for miraculous results as we interlock those shields. I believe God's going to put a hedge around us so the enemy can't get a victory. It comes down to this, friends. We need each other. I need you. You need me. We need each other. We can't go at this alone. Jesus didn't say, well, now that I've saved you, go off and do your own thing. No, he said, don't forget the assembling of the brethren. Don't forget coming together as the body of Christ. Don't forget to encourage one another, to challenge each other, to support one another, to pray for each other. All of those one another's. Do you know that there's, I think it's over 100 commands in the New Testament that all have to do with one another, meaning we can't do it alone. It would be impossible for you to fulfill the commands of Christ without being a part of a local church and connecting with the body of Christ. So I want us to stand up if we could tonight. And I don't often do this, but I'd like to tonight. The reason I don't usually do it is because when I was young, my dad or other ministers would have people hold hands. And when they would hold hands, he would forget that everybody else was holding hands except for himself as the pastor. So everybody's palms are getting sweaty. And it was just feeling awkward because you were holding the hand of the person that you'd never met before in your whole life. But how many know we're going to, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ tonight, you're going to spend eternity with the people that are around you. And we need the shield of faith to be lifted up at Dothan First. We need the shield, each one of you lifting it up, saying, I'm not only a member of a church, I'm a member of the body of Christ. That means the people across the street, man, our friends there at Covenant and over here at Wiregrass Church and down the road at the Baptist Church and at Harvest and all of these great churches around our city, we link arms with everyone that calls on the name of Jesus Christ. Because if they, listen, if they call out to him as Father, that means they're our brother. That means they're our sister. And we need to hold up the shield of faith with them. So tonight, what I am going to ask you to do is, and I'm not going to keep you holding hands long, but I'm going to pray, and I want you to take a moment to pray with your brother and your sister. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to have you span the aisles, and I want you to take the hand of the person beside you, span all the aisles, so you may need to move a little bit. You can introduce yourself before you hold this person's hand. And if you see that other people on the center is like ripping their arms out of socket, you can move from the aisles inward. Come on, don't pull somebody's arm out of socket, okay? And here's what I want you to do. In just a moment, I'm going to have you pray for the person on your right. So on the person on your right, I want you to make sure to ask them what their name is if you don't know their name. So go ahead and ask them right now. On your right, go ahead. Ask them what their name is. On the right. Everybody know their name now? Okay. Now on the person on your left, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to pray for them. Anybody that's on your left, ask them their name. Make sure you know what their name is. Go ahead. Come on. If you don't know them, you got to know them. Okay. Let's pray. I want you to begin to pray for the person on your right now. Lord, I pray blessing on that person, for that person on our right. In Jesus' name, I pray there would be a beautiful, amazing shield of faith that goes up in their lives, that no weapon formed against them will be able to prosper. God, I pray for the righteous to run in and take shelter in the Most High God, the refuge that we take in you. Lord, I pray for that person on our right that tomorrow at work or, Lord, in their job or, God, with their family and in their home, I pray strategic blessings overtake them because they're standing up for righteousness, right standing for the Word of God. Yes, in Jesus' name. Now begin to pray for that person on your left. Lord, we pray for that person on our left right now. God, I pray that you would do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask, think, or imagine. Lord, I pray the peace of God reside in their homes and in their lives. Lord, I pray the shield of faith would be lifted, that they would not doubt, that whatever they're walking through, whatever pain they're suffering, that there'll be something so sweet, so favorable, God, that they would look back and say, look what the Lord has done. And I pray every test would turn into a testimony. In Jesus' name, we pray it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray over this congregation of amazing worshipers. Lord, as we're interlocking our hands, we are strategically interlocking our faith, and we're believing you for the impossible, that no weapon that is formed against us will ever be able to prosper. God, I pray that when the enemy tries to come to get one of us, he has to go through all of us to get one of us. And I speak that blessing over this house in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can release hands, but can you give God praise tonight? He's been so good. Don't ever miss the opportunity to bless these friends in the house of God. It is officially 7:00, and I want to release you with this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and bring you peace. And may the Lord our God write his name on your hearts and declare, you're my child. No one can take you from my hand. May you understand that beautiful blessing of interlocking our faith, knowing that God, the same God that saved us, is the same God that will take us the rest of the way. He who began a good work will complete it in you. And I bless you to be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a Jesus-filled week. We'll see you either Wednesday or next Sunday. God bless you. You're dismissed.